I like to keep our people's minds on the gospel. I like to keep them thinking about the scriptures and the things of God. The Bible said, let your conversation be in heaven. And wherever your treasures are, that's where your heart will be. And I like to keep our people's minds on the things of God, thinking about the things of God. You take children that are in school, as long as the teacher keeps their minds right on the things of God, he won't have any problem with them. But if he ever does let their minds begin to wander and drift around, then he'll have problems. And I like to keep their minds right on the things of God. And right on the things of God. And that way, in doing it, we build a strong, healthy people. Now, I made mention the other night that a lot of people are like sick folks, a lot of Christians. They don't have a good spiritual resistance. And I remind you again that when you don't have a good spiritual resistance, then every wind of doctrine gives you a spiritual cold. And the first news you know, you'll have pneumonia and die. So you'll just drift off from the church and that'll be it. I've got families now that's taking spiritual pneumonia and they've already died and gone. Won't be no help for them. They're dying. They've died. But I've got some that's just got a good croup and maybe a little bit of the right kind of medicine or remedy. It might be a blessing to them. It might really help them. So I'd like to go over into the book of Revelation. Today, I really wanted to get into the book of Revelation. At this point, we're trying our best to get the literature started. And in doing that, then it takes my mind and my time away from the Word sometimes to where I can't get into it like I'd like to. But this is necessary. If we're going to see the move of God, then we're going to have to get the literature moving. And this is the time to do it. As a matter of fact, I believe Atlas is going to run some tonight. So we'll be doing some printing here, and if it's necessary, doing some printing maybe through Brother W.V. Grant or out in Dallas somewhere where the others are getting some printing done. Wherever we have to get it, that's where we'll get it, because we intend for it to move and move fast if God will help us to do it. I'm going to wait just another day or two on the spiritual conquest. I kind of set this Monday as a deadline to find out a little more about the machine. If Brother Taylor and I can't come together on something, on the Veritiper or the other machine, then we're going to bypass the machine and we're going to go to the publishers, to the presses, and bring the book on out. Now, I know that this book, when it comes out, it's going to shake some people up. I know that. I know that it's going to shake some of the ministers up around the country and different ones, because it speaks of them in the book. And it speaks of their ministry and what God's doing with them. And when they start reading it, then I'm going to sound like a meddler. And they're going to really, maybe some of them going to be real happy and some of them's going to be real displeased about it. But at any rate, we're going to get a lot of attention. So this book speaks of businessmen. Brings it right down to home, to where the man that's in the office, if he ever gets a hold of it, it's so intimate till it will sound like I'm sitting right there telling him about himself. And if you don't believe it, you wait till you read it. There's something about it that's going to upset him. Going to upset some preachers, some churches, and some moves and different things. So you just pray that it'll work out right. Brother Charlie is proofreading it right now. And he's the first one that will ever read the book. As far as I know, he'll be the first one that'll ever read the book, and that is to proofread it. He's going to read through it and then go back and proofread it to where we can have it for the work of God. It's not coincidental that Brother Charlie would be the first one because of the pattern that he follows. And the voice said to Brother Charlie, when I brought the big hat back that I said had to do with Brother Branham's, Brother Charlie said that he had an experience with God like he never had in his life, and a voice said, I will take you over Jordan. So the book is written precisely for that purpose, to take you over Jordan. That's it. And somebody had a dream that we wrote a book that brought the rapture, and this could very well be it. Let's read a little bit. If you've got your Bibles now, I'd like to read to you some. And in the reading, I'd like to go back to this particular place here. We've stayed around the man-child. We've stayed in that area around the man-child teachings for a good little bit. Now, I said this the other night. We had a brother that has gone among the brethren and has told the brethren that I had him out of peace with the spiritual move of God. Now, I don't know what authority he has to do that. I mean, I don't know who he is that he's got the authority to go around telling people whether they're in pace or out of pace. He either thinks a whole lot of himself, or either he feels that we're a bunch of ignoramuses and he's some special person if he has the authority to do that. But irregardless to why he did it, he did it. So I'd like to say this. According to what I understand, and God has made me to understand, he's the one that's out of pace. Now you say, who give you the authority to do that? Well, it's like Jesus said one time. If one feller tell me who gave him the authority, then I'll tell him who gave me my authority. But there's one thing about it. I do have the authority. And I would say that I had as much right to say that he was out of pace in defense of his accusation as he would to take up an accusation and say that I was out of pace. But I'll do more than just tell you that he's out of pace. I can prove to you by the scripture whether or not I'm in pace and he's out of pace, which he did not do me the favor of doing. He didn't come to me nor to tell me nor try to prove it. Some of them ask him, why didn't he go to me? But he didn't come to me. Now, I want to say this. First of all, he took this as the theme of his thought. He said that inasmuch as we're teaching the catching up of the man-child, we're out of pace with the scriptures because the sixth seal has not been opened yet. Now, I don't know whether you remember this or not, but the very statement that the man made proved that he didn't listen, that he didn't understand, and didn't learn what he ought to learn. And the Bible said we think we know something, we don't know something as we ought to know. But the very fact he said that proved that he hasn't paid attention to what I taught. Which is, I've said so many times, when you got a spirit on you, I don't care how regularly you come to church, you won't get the revelation. So then, I don't know whether you remember this or not, but not too long ago, I taught that the sixth seal, at the opening of the sixth seal, would be the coming of the Lord Jesus. I taught that. But I taught that the opening of the sixth seal, the coming of the Lord Jesus, had to do with Calvary in the spiritual sense, and that God had shortened the days for the elect's sake. You remember that? So you see, he didn't pay attention to what he was taught. The spiritual perspective of it is that we are at the catching up of the man-child, which is over in the seventh seal. It is true. Which means that the end of this type that's taking place now, that the end of this will bring the actuality of the coming of the Lord Jesus. But remember something, brethren. When the sixth seal, when the actuality of the sixth seal takes place, you won't have time to do nothing. You won't do anything. If he's planning to make any arrangements or God or do anything at the opening of the sixth seal, he might as well forget that, because that's the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That's not the coming of the Christ. That's the coming of Jesus. Now, I want to read a little bit, trying to stay right in around the 10th chapter, because it's the coming of the mighty angel where the mysteries of God was to be finished. We did this for the purpose that this is the finishing of the mysteries of God. And one of the great emphases of what we're trying to say is the mystery of God being finished. So let's read again just a little portion from the 10th chapter of the book of Revelation. All right, listen real good. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. And his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open. And he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and sware by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he had declared to his servants the prophets. And a voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many people and nations and tongues and kings. Now, I don't intend to continue on Revelation 10, because we're going to go on through the book of Revelation and explain what we understand of the other part. But there's a lot that's going on concerning Revelation 10. If you don't know it, you need to really get your eyes open. In Revelation 10, there is a lot to be said. And one of the things I'd like for you to observe is that there are numbers of people at this hour that is taking the outlook that they have something to do with being the seventh angel. I read to you where the Bible said that the seventh angel would sound, and at the sounding of the seventh angel, that the mystery of God would be finished. I might say a few things that might sound confusing to you tonight, but I don't want you to be confused. I want you to weigh and evaluate what I say according to godliness. First of all, a sister wrote a letter a few days ago. She's over in another town. She wrote a letter. She said in this letter, she said, I'd like to understand some things. I don't know how she expressed herself. But she said that Brother David Terrell says that he is the seventh angel. Of course, that goes back to Revelation 10 where the mysteries are finished. And said a brother came through here that said Brother Pike said that he was the seventh angel. I never said I was the seventh angel. I haven't told anybody that. I don't know where they got that, but I haven't told anybody that I was the seventh angel. They say, well, has Brother David Terrell said he was the seventh angel? All I know concerning what Brother Terrell said about the seventh angel was in a book, a recent publication, he made the statement, said, if I do not the work of the seventh angel, believe me not. Now, he said that the seventh angel would come, and that the seventh angel would have the power to reprove, to set in order, to bring the close of the mysteries, the close of the age, and to bring in the army of Joel that God spoke about, to make the thunders known and all of these things. And he went on to express in his book what the thunders was and what he understood them to be, and said that there were seven dark years. Pardon me, I believe that's the way he expressed it. So that's what God said the seven thunders was 7 dark years. Now, you say, well, do you believe that? I believe what you heard me teach. Now, another brother, Brother Nolan, over in New York, back up right near Canada, right on the Canadian line, above New York, he preached that the seven thunders was the seven visions that Brother Branham had. He said the seven visions that Brother Branham had was the seven thunders. Now, others came together, and up at Brother Bobby Woodruff's, I think a number of the brethren came together to speculate or to consider, to give their point of views as to what they felt the thunders was. I don't know just exactly what they come up with because I haven't heard the tapes. But everybody, see, is considering the seven thunders and considering the seventh angel. And like I said, if your eyes are not open, there's a lot that's being said and done about Revelation 10. It's got to be a big, big thing. I might say this. Brother William Branham's followers believe that he was the seventh angel. And they taught that he was the seventh angel to the church ages. It is not strange to me that Brother David Terrell would say all of a sudden that he's the seventh angel, and that they said that Brother Branham was the seventh angel. And I had made the statement that Brother David Terrell would dovetail Brother Branham's ministry out. Never before had he done that. Brother James sat there today in the press rooms, and he said, Brother George, for about 5 years I've been acquainted with Brother Terrell's ministry. Said he'd never done that before. But all of a sudden, after that we said that he would do it, he did it. See, he just stepped right in. Not only did he say that he was the seventh angel or is the seventh angel, but he told of the vision, said that God gave him the vision. Were these birds that had spots on them, white birds, left Brother Branham, came to him, and that he had the message to make them sparkling clean. Now you understand what I'm saying? They left Brother Branham, came to Brother David Terrell, and God told Brother David Terrell, according to his vision, that he had the revelation or the message, he said, to make them sparkling clean. Now, again, that proves what I said about him dovetailing Brother Branham's ministry out, because he said that he picked up where Brother Branham left off, according to the vision. He said that it was a few years later that he received the message that was to make them sparkling white. And that message was the revelation of Jesus Christ. Said the Lord Jesus told him that the revelation of Jesus Christ was the perfect message that would change the church or rapture the church or make those birds perfectly white. That it was the message of perfection. Now I think we'll all agree to that. The Bible said that the angel came to make John to know the revelation of Jesus Christ. I don't think any of us will dispute the fact that the revelation of Jesus Christ, not only is it the perfect message, but it's the only message. Now, all I'm trying to get over to you is what I understand. I don't say that I'm anybody. I believe I got God. Paul said, I believe I got the Spirit of God. And I know that the Lord has put a message in my heart. I know that. I know when He took me away and gave it to me. And I know the message He gave me was the revelation of Jesus Christ. He might have given it to Brother Terrell. He might have given it to the others. If they've got any kind of message, they're bound to have the message of the revelation, because there ain't but one. But I know that that's what he gave me. And that's what we preach, and that's what we taught. And I believe it will perfect the church. I believe it will rapture the church. I believe Brother Terrell is right in what he said about it, because I believe it will perfect the church. It will bring the army of Joel. It is God made flesh in the many members of his body. I believe that. It's the Word made flesh. Now, as to the dispute, the lady said, I'd like to know who is the seventh angel. Well, I guess we all would. Yes, that makes us all feel better. So that makes her one of all of us. But what I'd like to get you to think on tonight is this. Whether he's the seventh angel, or Brother Branham's the seventh angel, or whether somebody else is the seventh angel, there's one thing that we know. We know that when he comes, the mysteries of God are finished. We know that. If Brother Terrell finishes the mysteries of God, then that's good. If Brother Branham finished them, that's good. If you finish them, that's good. But one thing for sure, when he comes, they're finished. And not only are they finished, but the angel of Revelation 10 stated that when the seventh angel comes, that the mysteries of the seven thunders would be made known. Also said then, the seven thunder mystery was to be made known for the finishing of the mysteries. Now you say, where do you get that, Brother Pike? Read in Revelation 10. When the angel spoke, seven thunders uttered their voice. John was going to write the thunders, and the angel said, don't write them. Said, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, the mystery will be finished. Is that right? So then, if Brother Branham is the seventh angel, then if Brother David Terrell was to dovetail Brother Branham's message out, it sounds like that there could be a relative thing between them. Is that right? So he might not be as far away from what, as the truth, you know, as you would think he is. There might be more to it than you would think, if you could understand. But no matter what it is, at the coming of the seventh angel, the mystery of God was to be finished. And if Brother Branham was the seventh angel, then you'll agree that the church ages are over. Now, I want you to listen to this. I'm not going to try to make anything confusing. I just want you to listen. Some of us are so sure that we understand things that we sum something up in our minds and we just put it together like we want to. And then we, by doing that, we feel like the mystery of God's just, that's it. But the Bible said, great is the mystery of God. Paul said he was a steward of it. And the Bible said it wouldn't be finished until the last angel come. And not only that, but the mystery was not given to the world. So it's not given them to know. It's just to the church. That's why John couldn't write it. If John had written it, it would have been in the Bible. If it had been in the Bible, it would have gone to the world. It would have been given to the world to know the mysteries, because it's given to the world to know the Word of God, that which is written. But it was not given to them, so it was not written. It was a secret thing. It was given to the church. So it was not written. It was to be reserved in the Spirit. And at the time of the last move of God, them that was in the Spirit, it would fall on them and their hearts would come open and they would understand. The Bible said, the wicked shall not understand, but ye shall understand. They shall not see when good cometh. All right, now let's look at this just a minute. I say that they sum something up in their minds and they say that's it. And as far as they're concerned, they don't have to worry. But let me show you something. Now look at the seventh angel. In Revelation 10, where the seventh angel was to come, by the time that the seventh angel comes, in Revelation 10, by the time that he comes, according to the scriptural setting of line upon line, the church ages have ended long time ago. The seven seals has been opened a long time ago. Are you listening? The seven trumpets have been sounded long time ago, except for his, which is the last one. You follow me? I'm just going to ask you a question. If in the first part of the book of Revelation, it is the church ages, the seven church ages, when John saw Jesus, the seven stars in his right hand, standing in the midst of the golden candlesticks. He said the seven stars was the seven angels of the church. Is that right? All the churches. I preached to you not too long ago what I understood that those angels are. Brother Branham's followers say that Brother Branham was the seventh angel. Are you listening? I want to ask you some questions, not to confuse you, but to arouse your thoughts to let you know that you still got a long ways to go. If this is the seven church ages that takes place, here's the midst of the candlesticks. The seven church ages. Now, first of all, there is no such thing as seven church ages. How many of you know that? As far as the Bible's concerned, I know Brother Branham's got it wrote in his book. I know that Clarence Larkin got it wrote in his book. But there is no such thing in the Bible as seven church ages. There is no such thing in the Bible as a rapture. There is no such thing in the Bible as a millennium. Are you listening? You say, then, Brother Pike, what do they mean, the seven church ages? They take the seven churches of Asia. We showed you on a board one night where they're located. The seven churches of Asia, where Paul established churches. And because Paul had the revelation to the Gentile people, they take those churches and they stretch them out over a period of time, saying that Paul, speaking to each individual church, signified an age of people. So they begin with Pentecost, where the church sets in, and where we have the first knowledge of the church. And from there, they start the church ages. Now, when they start the church ages, they call the first church an age. You know how they go? Ephesus, on down to the seven. They call them the seven church ages. And they go back and they search out history and search out the biblical understanding in the days of Balaam, the days of Jezebel, and by types and shadows, they find that each period of time fits the Old Testament and corresponds with the warning that Jesus gave to the church. So when it winds up, we wind up in a Laodicean church age, a lukewarm age that's full of knowledge, filled that we've got fine churches and all the knowledge we need in everything. And have need for nothing. Now that's what is called the seven church ages. But there never was no seven church ages mentioned in the Bible. Then Brother Branham's followers, according to his teachings and the historical things that he put together, takes the seven stars. Now remember, the seven church ages are known as the seven candlesticks. in which Christ was in the midst. Then they take the seven stars, put each one of the stars to each one of the ages, because Jesus said this is the seven angels to the seven churches. Not to the seven church ages, but to the seven churches. Then with this teaching, they number the different angels. They go back in history, Brother Branham did, and he picks up Paul as the first angel of the church. Then he comes on down and runs them all the way through until he comes down to the end and he leaves the last church age blank. He never said that he was the last messenger to the church. His followers took Brother Branham and filled in the blank space because it was evident that Brother Branham, though he would not put his name up there because there was no way he could be sure, yet he was indicating that he was the seventh angel to the church because he led all of the others up to that place. And there's been a lot said about it. Somebody said that God wrote Brother Branham's name up there on the board, which might have been, I don't know. I've never met anybody that saw it, and I don't know anything about it, but it could have been. Now, this is how that they get that Brother Branham was the seventh angel to the church. But this is what I want to point out. It doesn't matter to me who's the seventh angel. God didn't call me to fuss about who's the seventh angel. God just told me to preach the gospel. But the thing is, if that is the seven churches, or as we call it, the seven church ages, it is at the end of the last church age that John sees an open door in heaven. It is evident that the church ages is accounted for while John, who is typical of the church, while John is on the earth. Because it isn't until after the last church age that John, who is typical of the church, is raptured up into heaven. If you understand what I'm saying. The door came open. Now, I said that door was the same door that was open at Pentecost. Never had there been a door open in heaven until the veil was rent. And Jesus said, I am that door. And that door was opened by separating the Jesus from the Christ, which was the rent veil, which was in twain. Peter took the keys to it, opened it both to the Jew and to the Gentile by Jesus' name. Trinity people who say that Peter was sent to the Jews don't know what they're talking about. They use that to bypass the fact that the Gentiles should be baptized in Jesus' name. The Bible said that Peter opened it to the Jews and to the Gentiles. And it was all Jesus' name baptism. He stood up and told the council, said, brethren, you know how that God made a difference between us. Now, I know we don't believe that God makes any difference between men, but he does. Made a difference between us, choosing me to open the door to the Gentiles. Where he went down to Cornelius's and preached baptism in Jesus' name to them. They received the Holy Ghost. Somebody said before they got baptized, they received the Holy Ghost. They did receive the Holy Ghost before they were baptized in Jesus' name. But if you remember, the way they received the Holy Ghost was by hearing the message of Jesus' name. Because while Peter preached the message of Jesus' name, it was then that they received the Holy Ghost. Now you say, how did they do that?
Because they believed in the message he preached. And the Holy Ghost came into heart. Peter said, repent, be baptized in Jesus' name. They believed the message. So then the Holy Ghost came in, they're baptized in Jesus' name. They had never got the Holy Ghost if they hadn't believed in the name Jesus. You say, what about all of these Trinity people, Brother Pye, that's filled with the Holy Ghost? How do you know they've got the Holy Ghost? Somebody said, well, bless God, I know they got the Holy Ghost. How do you know it? Somebody said, well, they speak in tongues. I don't prove nothing. Well, they go to church. They give in the offering. I don't mean a thing. When Abel offered a sacrifice, Cain did too. You say, but I know the Spirit is present. That don't prove nothing either. The Bible said he poured his Spirit upon all flesh. If they're a human being, they got a right to that. See, so you've got no proof of anything like that. Now, you say, don't you believe Trinity people get the Holy Ghost? No. See, you thought I was going to say something else, didn't you? No. I never seen a Trinity person in my life get the Holy Ghost. And I'll tell you something else. You ain't never going to see one get the Holy Ghost. God ain't never give the Holy Ghost to no Trinity person. God has given the Holy Ghost to people who believe in Jesus' name that might have got caught in the Trinity doctrine. But they never was a three God people. They've always been a one God people. They just went on all that they understood. They had their faith in the name Jesus. If God gives the Holy Ghost to Trinity people, then the Jesus name people might as well just pack up and get out and quit. Because what's the need of preaching baptism in Jesus' name? What's the need of being baptized if you don't have to? Somebody said you don't have to. I don't believe that. I'll guarantee you that every person that God ever gives the Holy Ghost to in the age of the Jesus name teaching will be baptized in Jesus' name. If he doesn't come to baptism in Jesus' name, he hasn't got the Holy Ghost. Now you say, what about all those people that died before they got baptized in Jesus' name? If they never heard anything about it, it wasn't required of them. All right? You see, the seven church ages, they stopped. Now what I want you to see tonight is if these men are the angels of the seven church ages, how can they then be the seven that sounded the trumpets? Because John went up into heaven after the seven angels of the seven church ages. And then apparently the blood came off the mercy seat, and the wrath of God through the golden vial was cast into the earth. The Jews were sealed, and the seven trumpets was seven angels that were seen in heaven after the seven angels of the seven church ages. These seven angels was seen in heaven that came forth and stood before the throne. John saw them in heaven, and there they sounded the seven trumpets to pour out God's wrath. The last three of those angels was the three wolves. It was in between the second and the third wolf, which would be the sixth and the seventh angel. It was in between those two wolves that the angel of Revelation 10 came on the scene, and the thunders was revealed. This seventh angel, which was to finish the mysteries of God, he was the last woe to the earth, the last of the three woes. The seventh angel is not only the angel that finishes the mysteries of God, but it is evident that he finishes the last of the three woes. He finishes the wrath of God in the three woes upon the earth. Are you following me? He's a powerful fellow. It is between the sixth and seventh trumpet that the angel pauses long enough to introduce the two prophets of Revelation, which apparently is Moses and Elijah. And I brought that out on tape why I believe that. The last one of these trumpets, that is the sound, finishes the mystery of God. I spoke of the Old Testament, I got it on tape here somewhere, concerning the two trumpets of Israel, made out of the silver of the Levites. One was the sound to gather Israel, the other sound to cause Israel to move. It's believed that the sounding of the last trump of those two was to be the trump of God that comes back from heaven. I want you to notice something. This last angel or last messenger, the seventh angel, the last messenger, immediately after that he sounds, and if you'll notice, before he does sound, the angel pauses long enough in between the last two woes, the sixth and seventh trumpet, to introduce the two prophets. When the two prophets are introduced, it is stated that John was to take a rod in this interval. And he was to take that rod during this period of time to measure the temple of God, to leave out the outer courts. Now, there's but one rod that God's got. That's the Word of God. And His measuring rod is His spiritual measurements of you as a spiritual Jew, because that's the church. And He measures you to see if you measure up to His spiritual grace that He's given you. But the Lord said to John, don't measure the outer courts. Leave it alone. Don't measure it. The reason is because the outer courts is the Jew. And you don't measure them the same way that you measure the church. Because we're under grace and they've been under the law. Their eyes was never opened to grace until Jesus comes. And at this time, the Lord Jesus hadn't returned to the Jews as far as a nation being born. You'll find a little further over when they see the nail prints. The Bible said, who ever heard of such? A nation born in one day, as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth the children. But to leave the outer courts indicates that God is not measuring our outer man. It's dead. With the Jew from Calvary, it's dead so that it can be a scapegoat for the inner man. If you understand what I'm saying. That body is not measured. Your faults, your failures, your stumblings, your misdemeanors in life, after that you're sealed on the inside, your outer man is not measured. You leave that alone. You don't measure that. This happened in between the sixth and the seventh trumpet. It is also stated that in this period of time, that a great earthquake takes place and a great disaster occurs. And it makes it sound like that all of that happened with the sounding of the sixth angel. But if you'll notice, the angel said in the days of the voice of the seventh angel that the mystery would be finished, and apparently he is showing John the ultimate of his expression as to the finishing of the mysteries of God. Because it's when the seventh angel sounds that the man-child is caught up. A voice declares the kingdoms of this world to be the kingdoms of God. And Satan is cast out of heaven, personifies himself, and the woman goes away into a wilderness. And the two prophets was to tutor her for the 3.5 years. It's for sure that before this time, the woman is up in heaven. The two prophets couldn't tutor her up there. So then, it's not until after the sounding of the seventh trumpet that the woman goes into the wilderness. So it's evident that these two prophets had to do with the sounding of the seventh trumpet when the woman goes into the wilderness. I made the statement. Now, Brother Terrell has got what he calls the blessed areas all over the country, the blessed areas. It's got people stirred up everywhere. Newspapers are carrying it. And people by the thousands are moving to those areas. The reason, now you might say, Brother Pike, what's causing people to rally like that? I want you to listen for just a minute. What's causing thousands of people to go to the places where Brother Terrell says it's blessed areas? Here's what's causing it. Because Brother Terrell is teaching that the church will go through the tribulation period. And that during this time, there's going to be blessed areas. It probably has never even occurred to him what he's really doing, as far as the allegoric part of it. But I believe he's sincere in all that he's doing. The people are afraid to go through the tribulation. And he's telling them that they will go through it. So they're trying to get to these blessed areas, get them houses, and plant crops and things to where they can live during that time. Now, I want you to listen to me, folks. I'm your pastor. God raised me up for a leader, and I've been a leader. And I feel like I'm one of the poorest, not good enough to be a shoeshine boy, let alone the seventh angel. But there's one thing about it. I'm going to tell you the truth. If you hate me, I'm still going to tell you the truth. It's my job to tell you the truth. And you that really want to know the truth will love me. Because I'm going to say this. If you haven't got a pastor, you better get one the quickest way you know how. Because it won't be but a little while. And all these people that says, I don't need a preacher and I don't need a pastor, they'll go by the droves to get to one. So you better start picking you out one. But I want you to listen. And I want to reason with you as I go along. That's why I don't preach to you. I try to teach you, like Jesus, when he sat down and just taught them. I want you to understand, because this is a serious time. My mother's involved in this. My sisters, my brothers, their loved ones. My wife and my children, my friends. And I want them to know the truth. And I do know the truth. It took many, many years of waiting on God to find the truth. And I was like I was in a wilderness for many years of the pros and cons. But one day he made me to know. And that's why I speak like I do. One thing I want you to understand. There is no such thing in the Bible that teaches a blessed area. Now I know that you can go bless a place. The Lord said to Moses, it's holy ground. And I'm not saying this to come against Brother Terrell or be contrary to put doubt in your mind. But I want to tell you what I understand. I'm speaking not of a place that you bless. I believe God's blessed this place. He said, whoever you bless, I'll bless. If he's going to bless who we bless, I'm sure he can bless a place if we ask him to bless it. I say, Lord, bless my food. Lord, bless my neighbors. God, bless my house. But we're not speaking of that. If that's what Brother Terrell's doing, that's good. But I'm speaking of the tribulation period. It is contrary to God. It is contrary to the Bible. It is contrary to faith in everything that God is trying to do. To say that there is a blessed area where people can go to during the tribulation period, there is no such place. If you'll read the Bible, here's what you'll find. That it's the land of Moab and Ammon. Now, if if you're not acquainted with it, I want to tell you again. When God burnt the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, the two daughters of Lot did their evil with Lot after that they got him drunk. There was children born, and they were called the children of Moab and the children of Ammon. And God gave them an inheritance because there were Lot's children over on the other side of Jordan. That's before you come into Canaan. Back over around the land of Esau. When God brought the children of Israel through their land to go over Jordan, it was right there that he took Moses' life. Just before they went over. The Lord said, don't touch the children of Moab or the children of Ammon's land. I gave it to them for an inheritance for my servant Lot's sake. But the children of Moab and the children of Ammon was so contrary to the children of Israel. And when you say children of Israel, Jacob's name was changed to Israel, and his 12 sons brought forth their lineage, which means the children of Jacob. When the children of Jacob came to inherit their Canaan land, they give them so much trouble that God got upset and just said, kill them all and take their land, all that opposes you. So he gave them their land too. Now here's what I want to tell you. According to the Bible said when Antichrist stretches out his hand, and you can believe that there's going to be a tribulation, and you can believe there's going to be an Antichrist, and you can believe that he's going to stretch out his hands against the church and against the people, everybody that won't obey him. The Bible said when he stretches out his hand, that these lands that I mentioned, it has to do with Moab and Ammon, is the only ones that's going to escape. There ain't going to be any blessed areas that'll escape. There ain't going to be any areas that we set up here in Georgia that'll escape. Or any errors that we set up in Germany. The Bible said this is the only ones that will escape. And the reason for that, as far as we know, is because in that area, there is what you call the Valley of Petra. The place where God apparently is going to drive the Jews into to preserve them during the 3.5 years from Antichrist. That's going to be the only blessed area so far as escaping Antichrist that there is. Now you can believe what you want to about it, but I told you the truth about it. One of the reasons that I feel that Brother Terrell has taught the church will go through the tribulation is because we had a discussion on it when I was in the valley. And I told him, and what I understood, he talked with me about it, about his convictions, and asked me what I thought. Did I believe it would go through it or not go through it? I don't know where he'd even remember or not, but he did. And I told him, I said, if the church thinks that they're going to escape the tribulation and the things that's coming on the world, I said they're wrong, and I still say they're wrong. But I do not believe, though I do believe this to begin with, I believe that the church is going to feel the impacts of the hand of Antichrist. I believe that. If you think you're going to get away from it, you're wrong. God's got a blessed area for you, but that area is that you be sealed with the Holy Ghost, hid away in the Spirit of God. Now, Brother Bill Britton, I don't agree with Bill. Bill is perhaps one of the greatest men in the earth and probably got one of the greatest knowledges as far as revelation, I suppose. But I understand that Bill teaches that the church will just be hid away and go right on through the tribulation. I believe that, proportionally speaking. I believe that the church will be hid away. I believe that. But Thessalonians tells me that they're also going to be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump and caught up to meet God in the air. So shall they ever be with the Lord. And I say this, there is no way that a church can return in Revelation 19 like Enoch saw unless they first go up. How can it come back if it don't go up? They've got to go up before the tribulation to come back after the tribulation, which is Revelation 19. Because the Bible said the heavens came open, Jesus Christ came down on a white horse, and thousands of the saints followed him on white horses. And the Bible said this is the first resurrection. So you can see that if you say there is a first resurrection before the tribulation period, that you're really going to have your hands full. Because the Bible does not speak of a first resurrection until after the tribulation period, which is Revelation 19. So if you say, like the church of God, before the tribulation period, that there is a first resurrection, which is the rapture, I'd like to know how you're going to prove it. There ain't no way you can prove it. I know, because I've done been in discussion with some great Bible scholars, and I've scanned it. It ain't in there. You can't do it. But you've got to understand what was meant by the first resurrection. How many of you want to tarry just a few minutes? Feel just a little lethargy now. Some of them's getting unconcerned. I want you to see this. See, I know who does that. I mean, I know who you are when you do those things. But I don't try to tell you to embarrass you. Some of them did it just then was young folks. It was among some of the young folks. I don't mean 12 and 13 years old. I'm not older. But anyway, I want you to get these last few thoughts, and then I'm going to stop. Folks, you're living in a critical time. What you better do is forget about going home anytime and get your mind on the fact that you ain't going to have no home to go to. There ain't going to be no home for you to go to. And realize that what you've got to do is get into this thing and understand this thing. You say, why should I understand it, Brother Pike? Because thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people are following Brother David Terrell to a blessed area when there ain't no blessed areas. That's what I'm talking about. Following somebody to a blessed area, there ain't no blessed areas. A tornado, a cyclone, anything could move through one of those areas as well as it could here and tear this church and that place is slapped to the ground. You say, Brother Pike, that couldn't happen if it's a blessed area. I don't see where you get that. The Bible said the rain's on the just and the unjust. When that rain comes down, that storm comes down, it comes to your house just like it comes to my house. When diseases come, it comes to your house just like it comes to my house. Somebody said, but if you're a Christian, you won't get sick. Well, I'd love to know one thing. Why was it that Elisha had a double portion of the Spirit of God? The Bible said he got sick and died. If you can explain that to me, then I'll agree with you. But brother, there ain't no blessed areas when it comes to staying away from those things. Antichrist is going to close in. I'm not trying to tell you who the seventh angel is or the sixth angel or the fifth angel. That's for you. You can take all that, do what you want to with it. But I'm telling you that you're not going to escape the impacts of Antichrist. If you've got some idea that God's going to just sweep down, like the Church of God says, and the Pentecostal Holy just take you away, and you not see anything that's going to happen to the church or to the world, you're wrong. There's one thing that I teach, that God will not pour out his wrath upon his own people. He won't do it. In the part of the tribulation period where God pours out his wrath on the Antichrist, you will not be in it. Because if you'll check the scriptures just before he does this, The Bible said that Christ comes out on a cloud and he sits there, and somebody said that the harvest of the earth is ripe, cast in thy sickle. And the Bible said he cast in his sickle and he reaped the earth. That's the catching away right there. That's just before God pours out his wrath on the Antichrist, but it's also past the point of the wrath of Antichrist. So you see where you're standing. I'm going to stop here. I'm just about half through. And I'd like to have gone into some things and explained it to you, but I can't do it when we don't have enough interest. I appreciate the interest that you do show. And I can assure you it won't be long before we'll have some meetings. It won't be long so we'll have some meetings that last 10 and 12 and 15 and 24 hours, and you'll still be there. Won't be long. You won't want to go nowhere, and you won't have nowhere to go. Nowhere. So just try to get this little 45-minute sermon or whatever it might be. It might took longer than that. I don't know. But if you can, just try to get it. What I do, I don't try to just go on and on and on and talk and explain the whole Bible in a night, because the half ain't never been told. But I do have a potion in here that God gives me that I need to get to a certain place before I stop. And I know about where that place is, and I can't do it in 20 or 30 minutes. I just can't do it. Sometimes I can't do it in an hour. It took Brother Branham 6 or 7 hours to preach one message. But anyway, I thank God for you that listen, you that are patient, and the patience that you do have, within your patience, possess ye your souls. But brethren, it is important as a minister in the place I'm in that when I make a statement like I make that might go on the radio or go into anybody's hands, Brother Terrell might sit right down and listen at it. It's important that I take enough time to clarify to where when they hear it, they know what I'm talking about and hear my scriptural proof of what I'm teaching before they retaliate. I'm not just preaching to this little group of people. I want you to know that I'm preaching to the world. These tapes have gone all around into the islands and across the United States and it all around. I get reports from all around where these tapes go. So I have to take enough time to clarify it. You people really need to understand that. All right, I'd like for you to stand with me. I'm not scolding you. I'm just trying to show you the necessity of winning souls. If Jesus could go to Calvary and die at Calvary for your sake, you have got to learn to endure sound doctrine and have patience, not only to sit, but with an interest that the Spirit of God may finish what it's trying to do to reach souls. If this tape right here goes among Brother David Terrell's people, and I saw in a vision where some of his people, according to the vision, turned to us, it showed his people. Now, if that's true, if this tape goes among those people, and if I don't give a full explanation to where they can understand, some of you are going to be blamed with it. You remember that. If the blood of those people be required, it'll be required at your hand. Because I try patiently to work with you, to understand, and not to keep it too long. But some of you lose your interest and you get into the carnal mind, whereas the Bible said it's enmity against God. And you cause me a lot of problem when I'm trying to clarify something to help people escape. Those people that are listening to Brother David Terrell, I don't feel like they need to escape in the sense that he's telling them the gospel as far as the salvation of their souls. But as far as turning to cities that are blessed areas to escape the tribulation, my brother, that is not true. They can't do it. It is not God. God has not told him that, nor has God told them people that. And I want to say this in closing tonight, to show you some of the things that those things can lead to. Brother James said the other night that he was under the tent of Brother Terrell, and he told about what a wonderful message that Brother Terrell had brought, how beautiful it was. But Brother Terrell made a statement about Brother Branham, and it shook Brother James up so much, he said he ran out from under the tent. Just felt like he just had to get out from under there. And said, I want to get to Brother Pike and talk with him. said when he got out from under the tent, he felt a little relief. And said there was a black man that came to talk with him. Said he started talking with him. And said the black man said, "Why don't you move over to that blessed area?" Said, "I can't go over there on account of my wife. She's contrary." I want you to listen to this. Brother James said he tried to explain to him, you know, he didn't have no wife and he didn't feel to go over there. But the black man said to him, said, "If my wife would go, I'd go, but she's contrary." But now listen. He said, "But there's one thing about it. I want to be over at that blessed area." And said, "I got my wife, my eyes right now. I got my eyes on two or three good Holy Ghost filled women." Bobby understands what I'm saying. You understand what I'm saying? Now, do you think that people like that can run to a blessed area and God's going to bless those people? You say, "Brother Pike, are you trying to overthrow the blessed areas because one egg's bad?" No, I don't mean that. I'm just trying to show you what things like that lead to. That if those carnal-minded people think that's a blessed area, they're going to run down there. You're not going to get Christian people over there. You're just going to have a mixed up mess is what you're going to have. That's what you're going to have. There's one blessed area, and that's in Christ. If you can get into it, God bless you, you're saved. The Bible said the name of the Lord is a strong tower. They that flee into it, they are saved. But if you've never come into the name of the Lord, I don't care what church you belong to, you're not in a blessed area. I want to say again, I'm not saying this contrary to what David says about blessing those areas. If he wants to bless them and God blesses them, that's good. But I'm saying that they are not blessed areas as far as people being saved going through the tribulation period. There is no such thing. You understand what I'm saying? Now, I've told you the truth. I've always tried to tell you the truth so that you won't be mixed up. People have sold their home. People have left their wives. Wives have left husbands, left families. They've left the cities, left their jobs to get to those places. Some of you would have done the same thing if you hadn't known the truth. Oh, you said, "I'd have never done it." Yes, you would have. Them others that did it, human beings just like you.